What's going on, everybody? Beast Child here, coming at you with TWHOP, the half hour of power. Today is Tuesday, so I'm going to be hitting on some of the bigger topics in the NFL in the Topics and Opinions show. It's pretty simple. I give you the topic, word of the two sides, my opinion, then break down what's going on. You get through a couple topics in the show, but before we can do that, we have to break down last night's Monday night game. Let's go! Well, who he gon' get and what he gon' do? I tell you this, we gon' give you the four ways to get in contact with the show. Go ahead and send your emails to beastchild09@gmail.com or add me on Skype, beastchild09. Or of course, add the show on MySpace, myspace.com/the_half_hour_of_power. Or of course, the almighty website, thehalfhourofpower.googlepages.com. So, let's get right into this week's Topics and Opinions show. Here we go. And the Bills and the Hustlers got me coming at you both in the VI while they bumping little child. I'm a rusher. It's a cyclone on twister from Chicago rolling with the Miami that I crush him. We already be looking for drama. If a nigga try to get into a witness, then we gotta get him. Feeling free from the torture that could never be true. I'm finna sell it. I'm telling you, trick up in the stillum. Got me swinging Christy and Hennessy bottles in the club. And my thug homies going for the thriller. Don't get it twisted with that overnight celebrity. You better be scared of me in my city. I'm a killer. Hey everybody, this is Beast Child coming at you once again, TWHOP. Today is October 9th, Tuesday. However, the earliest that you will be able to hear this show is Wednesday, October 10th, because Podomatic, the website that I host the podcast on, is updating their servers, so you won't get to hear any of this until Wednesday when I post this show. So, first, let's get into the game. It was the Monday Night Football game. It was maybe the best hour in sports, maybe even this year. I mean, I'm not going to say anything because I haven't seen everything this year, but that probably was the best fourth quarter of football I've ever seen in my life. So, let's get into the game. Well, the Cowboys and the Bills played on Monday night. Of course, I picked the Cowboys, as did Vegas, with a 10-point spread. Everyone in the TWHOP Pick'em pool picked the Cowboys to win the game, except, of course, the Rebel, Ice Campbell, who picked the Bears over the Packers on Sunday night and the Bills over the Cowboys with the upset victory. Now, I could see how this could happen with them playing their first game at home on Monday night. It was their first game since, in 13 years, it was their first Monday night home game. Now, how could this happen? Because, you know, better teams play on Monday night in primetime. And so just by chance, they never got a home game. But they would have their chance now. So, I'll be honest. I didn't catch the whole game. But I turned it on at the perfect time. I'll tell you that. It was money when I turned it on. Because right in the fourth quarter. And here is the deal. I turn on the TV. Fourth quarter. And the score is 24-16. Bills lead. And I'm like, okay, Cowboys are down by 11. That is ridiculous. What is going on in this game? So I run over to the computer, check the stats. Hey, Tony Romo, nice to see ya. 5 interceptions. Ain't that beautiful? 5 interceptions for number 9. And so, you know, clearly I can see that. So I look down at the scoring. Oh, 2 touchdowns off interceptions and 1 off a kickoff return. Isn't that something? The Bills' offense has done nothing. They've completely taken an 11-point lead off of Tony Romo turnovers. So, and I also see that he has a fumble, which led to the Bills' field goal. But let's pick up in the fourth quarter. Okay, so the Bills have the ball, 14-47, and so that drives in. They punt. Cowboys. So once again, Cowboys are down by 11 points, and a touchdown and a 2-point conversion and a field goal to tie this game. So then the Cowboys, Kick a field goal to start the fourth quarter. Okay, so now they're down by 8. Need a touchdown, 2-point conversion, obviously. So, now the Cowboys are driving, and they have the ball, 11-18 left in the game. Tony Romo scrambles up the middle for 3 yards, but he fumbles. Aaron Trouble forced the fumble, and it's picked up by the Bills. Bills have the ball at 9:51. And they run the clock down 3 minutes, and eventually Trent Edwards would throw an interception to Terrence Newman right down the right sideline. He fumbles, but Dallas still picks it up. Okay, so Dallas has the ball now. 6 minutes left in the game. They are at, what is it, the Buffalo 17, first and 10. Give to Julius Jones for 1 yard on the right end. Then Tony Romo drops back to pass, looks left. Intercepted on the goal line by linebacker DiGiorgio. And he runs back to about midfield where Terrell Owens tackles him. And he was just in his middle zone, picks it off and takes it back. Cowboys down by 11 on the road. Bills fans are going crazy. Sellout game. So now the Bills have the ball. 5 minutes left. They are on their own 38. By the way, the Cowboys have all 3 timeouts. All the Bills need to do is just run out the rest of the clock. And that's game over. Peace. Sayonara. We pull off the upset. Okay. Marshawn Lynch left end, 2 yards. Marshawn Lynch left tackle, 1 yard. Trent Edwards incomplete pass to Jeff Reed. First of all, why is he throwing? All these guys need to do is run the clock, run the clock, run the clock. You don't need to do it. I know it's 3rd and 7. Give it to Marshawn one more time, you know? Have that, juice that clock a little bit. Whatever, Mormon punts into the end zone, touchback. Okay, Cowboys have the ball, and here we go. 3:45 left in the game. They have 3 timeouts, and they start with the ball on their own 20. Shotgun. Okay, it starts off with a penalty. Then completes a nice pass for 12 yards to Patrick Creighton. Okay, Marion Barber up the middle. Tony Romo pass. 2-minute warning. Now they're at the Buffalo 47. Romo pass. Incomplete. Then Tony Romo pass. Okay, Dallas takes their first timeout. 40 seconds left in the game. 40 seconds. They are on the Buffalo 14-yard line. 40 seconds left. They have 2 timeouts remaining. Romo drops back, looks left, and it hits through Barber's hands into the hands of Terrence McGee, and it's dropped. It bounces right off his thighs, and that would have ended the game right there with that interception. But it was dropped, so they resume. Dallas takes their second timeout. Then Buffalo takes a timeout. So now Buffalo has 2 timeouts left. Dallas has 1. Tony Romo drops back, looks left. Patrick Creighton in the end zone, touchdown. Caught at the goal line, and he's in. So, obviously, they have to go for the 2-point play. And at this point, they use their 3rd timeout to think it over. Okay, so 20 seconds left. The game is pretty much over if they don't get this. So, they're going for the 2 points, and I'm thinking, okay, T.O. Terrell Owens has 2 catches in this game. They have got to find him in the end zone. He has a huge height advantage over whoever that corner is matched up against over on that side. So, they call timeout. They use their timeout. Okay. Romo drops back. Looks. Hits T. It's a high lob right up to T.O. He jumps up for it. Corner of the end zone. He's coming down with it. And the defender, Greer, the cornerback, tips it out of his hands as he's falling backwards. A beautiful play by Jay Greer. And it was in the left corner of the end zone, incomplete. So now the Cowboys are down by 2. At this point, Lappy Time says it's over. You can turn off the TV. And I say, whoa, dude. They get the onside kick, they're all in field goal range. Okay, I'll be honest, you know, I'm kind of crazy. I'm always thinking of the most ridiculous thing that can happen, you know. Ravens are down by something like 16 points. Okay, well, if we get the punt back here and we go for the onside kick, then all that ridiculous stuff. So I'm just being myself. But it turns out they go for the onside kick. Nick Folk, the rookie kicker, pops it up into the air. Right? Patrick Creighton jumps up for it. He's got his hands on it, but he gets tackled by the Bills. Heads it forward. It bounces. And I believe it's the 3rd string tight end. I don't even know his first name. Curtis dives for the ball in between 2 Bills, and he got it. Now the Cowboys have the ball on the Buffalo 47, almost at midfield, and they are ready to get into field goal range. They have no timeouts. 18 seconds left. To win this game, they need a field goal, obviously, and that would win the game. They're down by 2. So, Tony Romo drops back, hits Terrell Owens, a 22-yard catch. They got a run. He's down at, what, the 25-yard line. So, Go, go, go. Ready for the spike? They have no more timeouts. It's the only way. They spike it, and 1 second left, they got the spike off. But wait, referees are blowing their whistle. The booth is challenging the Terrell Owens play. Now, one might say, okay, once they get the snap off, you can't do that. But in reality, the referees were, they got it in beforehand, but the referees on the field weren't able to tell the offense. Whatever, they didn't get the whistle off, whatever. But it was legal what the referees did. So, the challenge, and it's reversed. It turns out Terrell Owens, the ball touched the ground as he was rolling over on the ground. So it was a low pass by Tony Romo. So it's incomplete. Now they have 13 seconds left, meaning that if they complete another 20-yard pass, they don't have time to get up there and spike the ball. They got to get out of bounds. So Tony Romo, short right, Marion Barber, he gets out of bounds for 4 yards. Pretty good. Now they're at the Buffalo 43-yard line. Tony Romo, short pass right, Patrick Creighton, he gets out of bounds, eight yard play. That was beautiful. That pretty much put them in range. Now, Nick Folk, rookie kicker, 100% on the season except for a blocked kick. He is about to hit a career long. If he hits this, 53. His record is 47. So, he's ready. Hold the snap, hold, kick, right down the middle, victory. But wait, Dick Geron. That beep. He called timeout before the snap, and my God, am I going to dissect this. So, once again, they got to take that thing again. We've seen this three times. Nick Folk pops it, and right down the middle. C-A-L-L-A-T-T, the Dallas Cowboys pull through 25-24. Oh my God. Tony Romo, you better be, like, cleaning up Nick Folk's dust with your eyelashes. He threw 5 interceptions this game, only 2 touchdowns. Once again, he had a 300-yard game. That's his 5th one straight. He threw 50 passes, 5 interceptions, and a fumble lost. Nick Folk, on the other hand, 4 for 4, 53-yarder, and an extra point. I mean, the guy's a beast. So, he hits the second one, they win, and all of the Bills fans. Personally, I would assume, being a Bills fan, maybe an adult, I mean, obviously I wasn't alive for this, but 4 straight Super Bowls, 4 straight losses for the Buffalo Bills. They also happen to be the team that gave up the greatest comeback in NFL history to the Houston Oilers in the AFC wildcard game. Yes, the Bills, 4 straight Super Bowls, greatest comeback in history given up, and now they lose this game. They had so many chances to win this game. And now they go to 1-4, winning their only game last week against the Jets. So, the Bills, I'm sorry, Bills fans, I'm sorry. But you're just not destined to win. It's just not fate. So, but I want to go to this. I want to go to this kicking rule. So, what coaches do, they go over to the sideline. They got the referees next to them. And they are just waiting for they're waiting for the kicker to get in place, so they know they're going to kick it, right? So then they say, referee, okay, we want to call timeout right before the snap. The referee's alert of this and ready. Once he sees the snapper in the ready position, puts his head up. He calls timeout. Ball is snapped. The referees are blowing their whistles and running towards midfield, but the crowd is so loud, you can't even imagine that you couldn't hear a whistle, you know, if you tried, if you had like a megaphone up to the whistle, but. So he can't hear anything, whatever, so they kick it, and it's good, and now he has to kick it again, and you should have seen the look on his face, whatever, he nailed it. That didn't end up being a problem, but we've seen it with the Raiders and the Broncos. We've seen it with the Raiders twice. Mike Shanahan did it to him, and then Lane Kiffin did it to Phil Dawson, the kicker of the Browns. So, what is the deal here? I've heard mixed opinions. One, hey, that's fine. Kickers, you know, I finally get to see a kicker. I finally get to see him be tough. Kick it again. It's a 50-yarder. Whatever. And the other side is obviously, which comes to mind with the average fan, is that's not fair. You know, I mean, whatever. Okay, here's my opinion. If I were on the committee, this is how I would do it. Kicker, usually the kicker takes, what, 3 steps back, 2 steps to the left if he's a right-footed kicker, right? Gets in his ready position. Neil Rackers has the little spreaded wings. Matt Stover gets his left arm right in front of his body, his right arm back, like a, I don't even know what that is. Oh, like he's at a pool table, you know, like that. And so, you know, they all have their style. John Casey just lines up pretty much directly behind the ball. I don't even know how he kicks it, but So once the kicker gets in this position, he's ready. You cannot call timeout from that point forward. Usually it's about 2 seconds of him being in that position, then they snap it, then he kicks, whatever. But at the point where it would be a false start if he moved, you cannot call timeout. The defending team may not call timeout when the kicker is in that position. So, that's my take on it. If they were to review that, I don't know how you would regulate that for like all offensive plays if they were to do a fake or something. But that's what I would do on the rules committee, or you know, find some modification of that, because I do believe in freezing a kicker. You know, Adam Vinatieri is about to kick a 50-yarder to win the Super Bowl. I do believe in the Rams, the Eagles, the Panthers calling timeout a couple like 10 seconds or something before they line up. Just to put more pressure on the kicker. Okay, that's game, whatever you want to do. It's legal. But when you go into making the kicker kick it twice, or, you know, having them to do that, and not even the kicker. I mean, you have to get a hold, a perfect snap, a perfect hold, and obviously the kick has to be right. And so that's three things. And granted, the majority of the time that goes right. So a lot of people, you know, they just go get their snacks when they see the team scores a touchdown, the extra point. But nothing's automatic in the NFL. You always have defenders trying to block it. And as we saw with, it was the Raiders game. Phil Dawson, he didn't miss the second kick. It was blocked. So part of that is the fault of the kicker. Part of that is the defenders just putting more effort in, whatever. But my opinion is he should not be allowed to have to kick it again just because of this stupid rule. So, do I disagree with it? Yes. But do I believe in freezing a kicker? Yeah, I feel like that's game. So, that's that. Now, let's get into some of the bigger topics. This is the Topics and Opinions Show, the first official show. And so I'm just going to hit on some key topics, some stuff that I noticed, some stuff that I learned, and just overall things that I saw on and off the field. So, first of all, Saints, Rams, and Dolphins are bad. Okay? They had a chance. Saints had a chance to finally redeem themselves against the Panthers. It would have been a huge win for them, because not only was that a division rival, but coming off the bye, that's just a game that you have to win. Saints are pretty much out of it. I mean, they are. What are they? 0-4, 0-5. Let's take the Rams for example. They're 0-5, right? In the NFL, 10 wins usually the magic number for the playoffs. AFC maybe 11. But let's take the Saints, for example. 0-4, 0-5. If they win 10 straight, they're at 10 or 11 wins. So that is how they get into the playoffs. Are they going to win 10 straight? Not looking like it. Deuce McAllister, you'd think that if they're about to go on a 10-game winning streak, you think they might have won a game. But no, they haven't. They're looking very bad, and they're looking mighty bad right now. And so why? Saints, last year, I have to say it, I mean, it was a bit of a fluke, it was a bit of lightning in the bottle, it was just, everything went right for them, everything fell into the right place, you know, take a look at their division. Jake DeLone was injured for the Panthers, so the Panthers struggled, they had to bring Chris Winkie in. Steve Smith was injured for the first four games, they went 0-4, then they won two games straight with Steve Smith back, so they were having some problems. The other team, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, well, I mean, they were just terrible. They were last place in that division. I believe they won a total of four games. And the Falcons, who did have the number one rushing offense, Michael Vick was kind of turning it on. But, you know, I mean, they don't have much else. That defense was, I guess you could say they're developing, but Lawyer Malloy back there, he's not getting any younger. And they got rid of him to the Bills. You know, I mean, there wasn't too much in that division. The NFC itself, you can tell how weak it is. Take a look at the Bears, with Rex Grossman going to the Super Bowl. Let's be honest here. But anytime they played a good team, they played the AFC North last year, got crushed by the AFC. I mean, they got manhandled. They got manhandled by the Bears, who I just said were not that good, let's be honest, on offense. Devin Hester and that defense and special teams, was what got them to the Super Bowl. Rex Grossman was doing his best to, you know, kind of keep them out of the playoffs, but they said no. So, that's what's up. So the Saints, that's why this year they don't have Deuce McAllister. Reality kind of slapped them in the face. They lost the veteran Joe Horn, so no pressure to take off Marcus Colston. Drew Brees looking terrible. I don't know if that's really him or not, but that's that. The Rams. This is disappointing. I mean, they finished last year at second place in the division, but Seahawks, Niners, Arizona, and Seattle. This may be the most competitive division last year, but no way in hell am I going to say that was the best as far as talent goes. So the Rams, I didn't expect too much. I thought they were going to win the division, but I didn't feel like that was asking too much. But right now they're 0-5, not looking too good. They have nothing on offense. Mark Vulger, their star quarterback, is out. And their wide receivers obviously struggling because of that. Their star running back, Steven Jackson, is out. That's all they had in offense. They're pretty much like poor man's Indianapolis Colts from last year. You know, their offense is going to win you games. And they don't have that anymore. Dolphins. Let's move to the other winless team. Well, they don't really have anything. They have Ronnie Brown on offense. That's it. They have, I guess you could say, Jason Taylor and Zach Thomas on defense, but they haven't done too much. Jason Taylor himself said he's playing really badly right now and he sucks. I mean, that's just the quote. But they're not doing anything. I mean, if everything went right for them, they'd be an 8-8 team at best. And nothing really is. So, that's the Dolphins, the Rams, and the Saints. Chargers and the Bears. Two teams. Put up or shut up for them. And what did they do? Well, they put up. The Chargers put up a shellacking on the road. Both these teams played on the road and pulled off victories. Are they for real? I'll tell you this. They came to play. Now, whether they're for real is something else to be known. But the Chargers, 41-3. Michael Turner had 147 yards on the ground. 147. He had 10 carries. That's ridiculous. One of them came on a 72-yard run. But, you know, this is the Broncos defense. These guys are for real. These guys are legit. Or am I wrong? Or did I think that, you know, wrongly? So, that's the Chargers. They came to play. They shut down offense completely. The Bears. They are who we thought they were. And they came. Brian Greasy, but they did shut down Brett Favre. He went back into his turnovers. I don't think that was anything that you should read into too much about Brett Favre, but that's something to take a look at. That he's still human. You know, he's not having another MVP season. He might be. He does lead the league in yards, but I don't know that he has the quite the perfection to get MVP. So now they're still fourth place in the NFC North at 2-3. They are they've lost. This was their second game they won, obviously, and they were on a 2-game losing streak. And so this is a nice little way to turn around. Now they play at home against Minnesota, key game there. They are gonna have some chances to kind of, you know, they're gonna have a chance to rebound this division. They play Minnesota and then at Philadelphia. So a couple of, I'm gonna say, middle to above middle teams, and so now they can show America. Are they for real? I don't know. We'll find out. Now let's talk about the middle class. I mean, you're gonna hear all these rankings in my power rankings show, but I'm trying to go really in depth on these teams: the Browns, the Texans, the Panthers, and right off the top of my head right now, I'm throwing the Broncos in there too. The Browns. That's an upgrade for them to be considered the middle class. They have kind of moved up. You know, people would say the Browns, oh, these guys are playing the Browns. Or you want to make your eliminator pick, you kind of just look for who's playing the Browns. But, I mean, I got to say, as much as I hate to say this as a Ravens fan, and coming off a loss, yeah, I said it. But the Browns, what can I say? They're playing well on offense. Defense isn't too shabby. Texans, the other team, that is a huge upgrade for them. Never been up there. And so that's something they're looking forward. Without the running back and wide receiver, Panthers as well. That is a bit of a downgrade. I feel like they have the potential to be a top 8, 7, 6 team if they can play good offensive football. We know their defense is there. This is the team that last year everyone and their dog picked to win the Super Bowl. Did that happen? No. So, you know, that's that. Broncos, obviously, they could easily be a winless team. If a couple balls bounce the wrong way, they are a winless team. And they're down there with the Saints, Rams, and Dolphins. Now let's talk about the Patriots. 38, 38, 38, 34 and 34. Those are the points that they've put up in their games. 38, 38, 38, 34, 34. That is crazy. This week they're playing the Cowboys in a game that's going to be very interesting because Cowboys have, I guess before this game, might have been the number one offense in the league. And the Patriots, obviously putting up this many points, never really had someone who challenged them. The last three games they've played Buffalo, Cincinnati, and Cleveland. Now they play at Dallas and at Miami. And Miami, I don't know. But at Dallas, I mean, Dallas is a team that they can score. They have the ability to score four or five touchdowns in a game. That's what it's going to take, you know? If the Patriots consistently put up, I guess you'd say the average is something like the range of 36, 35 points per game, you know, the Cowboys are a team, one of the first teams that they're playing that can compete with that. So that's going to be interesting to watch. The 49ers, okay. Pretty good defense, very good punter, bad kicker, bad offense. The Niners, that is what they are in a nutshell. Their quarterback, Alex Smith, I don't know if he was in it make too much of a difference, because Alex Smith needs Frank Gore to take pressure off him. That's why we kind of saw him on the verge. We saw his potential last year. A lot of people said he would break out because they assumed Frank Gore would be there to take the pressure off him, to kind of, you know, take those runs up the middle and kind of get the defense on their heels. But this year, I hear a lot of people saying it's the offensive line. I don't know if it is. We saw Frank Gore have one good game, so we know he's still alive against the Rams. Granted, the Rams are winless, but we did see that happen. And so, is that the case? I don't know. But that's just something interesting to watch. Devin Hester, biggest special teams threat in NFL history. Yeah, I said it. He is. Regardless if he takes every single kick back to the house, he is such a threat on defensive field position. The Bears have such good field position because of the defense and his kicker. And I'll talk about this more next week, but I want coaches taking more risks. Going for it on fourth down. Now, don't be an idiot like Mike Shanahan going for it fourth and, 12 from his own 9. That's ridiculous. But I want to see more fake punts like the Saints had. I think there were two fake punts. There was the Titans and the Saints. One of them went for a 49-yard run, so you know what can happen. So that's something to take a look at. But that has been the Topics and Opinions show. So, a quick recap on what we talked about. The Saints, the Rams, and the Dolphins, they're bad. Chargers, Bears, are they competing? Middle class, the Patriots, the 49ers. The Devin Hester, big threat as far as field position and all that goes. And I want to see coaches make more decisions. I'll go more in-depth next week. Thank you for listening. TWHOP. Peace. And so with that, I'd like to thank you for listening to TWHOP, the half hour of power. I have been Beast Child, your host, and if you want to get in contact with me, if you want to holler at your boy, if I may, you can go ahead and send me an email, beastchild09@gmail.com, or you can add me on Skype, beastchild09. If you have a MySpace, go ahead, add the show, myspace.com/the_half_hour_of_power, or of course, the almighty website, thehalfhourofpower.com/GooglePages.com. Thanks again for listening. This has been a Beast Child Media production for 2007. Peace out! thehalfhourofpower.googlepages.com.